This message was given to draw you closer to the Heavenly Father. If you'd like to find out more how to deepen your relationship with God, check out the Prayer Coach blog at prayer-coach.com. One of the goals of speakers as we come up here, we've had some really good speakers, and I know I feel the weight of that as I'm coming up. But one of the reasons, one of the things that speakers does is they refine what they're going to say so that you have less obstacles in order to hear what God has to say to you. And so that's what the role of what we're doing. But don't negate the fact that you carry a part of that as well. You have to listen to what God is saying through the speaker to what he wants to say to you. And that's really what's so important. I'm not saying this because I think I'm a bad speaker. I'm saying this because it's a practice of each one of us to hear what God is saying in the moment. Because you're going to go to groups. Some of you don't have the perfect group. Some of you got some assholes in your group that you hate. But God is going to use that asshole to speak to you. If you listen. But you have to listen. We all know the story of Balaam, and of course he used the ass to speak to Balaam. But the thing is, we need to do that. We need to be able to hear those people who are asses in our lives speak God's word to us. Because I think God actually likes to do that. God, we're babies, we're children, we are bottle fed. Everything is easy to us. But as we grow old, then we look for the meat. And I think God, in a lot of ways, makes the words that he wants us to hear sometimes hard to see if we value those words and looking for them. And so, like, you might have the perfect group. You can go to your group and be like, this is awesome. But I promise you, there's some assholes in your life that God wants to use to speak to you. And as you listen to God speaking through the polished speakers, through the people in your group, through these other people in your life, as you begin to hear God speak in those times, then you're going to be able to hear God speak as you're going through all your temptations you're facing, all the sin you're going through. You're going to start hearing what God is trying to say to you, and even in those moments.
That's good.
Because the thing is, what we've learned in this group, because before we got in this group, all we really wanted to do was get better. We wanted all that sin, you know, temptation, whether it be any kind of sexual stuff that we're going through, whether it be pornography, whether it's actually having affairs, whatever it may be, it might be, whatever it was that brought you in this room, you just wanted that to stop. And so we just saw all these weeds coming up in our life, and we just wanted to chop them all down. But what we've figured out in this room, there's roots that are causing all these weeds to pop up. And God actually allows these weeds to pop up in some ways to get our attention, to allow us to know there's something deeper that he wants to get to. There's some area in our life that we haven't actually allowed his love to get to. Either there's some lie, we believe. Aaron talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about lies. And the fact that we come up here once a year, we break lies and we establish truth. We listen to what God has to say, we break those lies. And that's really what I want to talk about today to a small degree. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." So the thing that Aaron was talking about that a couple weeks ago was talking about our thoughts, the lies we believe and all this stuff. But there's another part of that. It's like, in the NIV it talks about, it says, every pretension. And if you look at the King James, it talks about the vain imaginations. And these are those things that just kind of we allow to play in our mind. And we just kind of dwell on it. And we kind of think we're not hurting anymore. You know, I'm just going to, you know, I think that's a beautiful woman. I'm just going to, wow. I think she's wonderful. And I'm just going to look at her. Imagine, I wonder if she looks like with our clothes on. Oh, I can imagine that. That looks good. But it's all in our head. We just kind of keep quiet about it, and we don't act on it. And we kind of think it's, yeah, we probably shouldn't do it. But, you know, who really knows? Who are we really bothering? We just kind of allow it to just kind of go on. It could be anything. It could be I wonder what it would be like, you know, just to, you know, have multiple women. Now, that would be kind of cool. You know, your mind just kind of think about it. It's like, ooh. And you just kind of allow it to play, because in your mind it goes however you want it to go. And of course it goes well in your mind. But the thing is, you allow that stuff to sit in there. And what you're doing is you train your heart to know what you want. And so you're doing these imaginations, these thoughts we allow to linger in our head. We're actually training ourselves to say, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to go after. James talks about in James 1, when tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So we see a progression. We see how the sin gets there. The temptation is not some outside force that comes on us and goes, oh no, we can't do anything about this. That thing came up and now we have to do it. So it's that our desires in us that we kind of allow to sit around when that temptation comes. Maybe there's a beautiful girl walking by. That evil desire we allow to sit there is now sparked, and it has that temptation now has a ground for it to settle in our lives. So if we don't rein in our thoughts and our imaginations, we're actually creating fertile ground for sin to develop. It's not just we're sitting here thinking, hey, I'm just going to cut out all these, make my behavior right. That is, if we cut all the weeds out, that's going to help a lot. But if we allow our minds to continue to dwell on bad thoughts, then we're actually creating ground for sin to happen. So for me, let's tell my story. When I was a teenager, probably before that, I used to kind of have these imaginations of being married and having this beautiful woman who just walked around the house naked all the time. She would love to kiss me. She would love to hang out with me. She would love to be with me. And that was just my imagination. I would imagine what it would be like to kiss her and do all this stuff. So this is like, I remember being in the shower, kissing my arm, practicing. This is how it's going to be like kissing, because I didn't know yet. I mean, I knew what it was going to be like. But I practiced, like, if I let my imagination run wild and kind of seeing how things would go. But the thing is, I was teaching myself that in order to feel loved and accepted by a woman, then she will have to give herself over to me. And the way that would be through either being naked in front of me, giving herself to me, or kissing me. So you can imagine my dating experience was really hard on the women I was going out with. Because for me to feel loved by them, then we need to be making out all the time, we need to be fondling, we need to be doing all this other stuff that to me showed me that she loved me. And so, of course, that made pornography a lot harder to beat as well. You know, I became a Christian when I was 13. But I still had this desire, like, to be loved and accepted from women. And the way I felt like it was going to be through this nudity and naked fest and all this kind of kissing stuff. And so it played out like, well, you know, I'm going to get that need met through pornography. And of course, that then fed on the cycle. So when I got married, I stayed pure and didn't have sex till marriage, but when I got married and had sex, then it was all of a sudden like, ooh, I wonder what it would be like having sex with someone else. And not that I ever wanted to act on it, I didn't, because I love my wife. She's wonderful. She's a great woman. Many of y'all heard her speak here a couple of times. She came back when we were in China. She shared. She's a wonderful lady, and I admire her. I think she's beautiful. But it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, I wonder what it'll be like to experience it with someone else. And I never wanted to act on it, but I just kind of allowed myself to think on it. And so I created an atmosphere in my that made temptations have fertile ground to grow. So I didn't think there was anything, I didn't fully think that thinking about was all right. But at the same time, I didn't really see the harm in it. But what I was doing, I was creating a cycle of something bad in my life. In Matthew 5, Jesus tells us this statement. It says, you've heard it said, you should not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. And some of you know this verse because your wife has kicked you out because of this verse. My wife, when she found out that I was struggling with pornography, she took this verse and said, you just basically committed adultery with another woman. I have a right to divorce you. And kicked me out of the house. And we just sang this beautiful song about God being a good, good father. And yet we've got things in here. He's making everything harder for us, it seems. We've got a father who wants to kick us out of relationships because we don't control our mind, it seems. And that's the way I always took this verse. And I think probably the first time I heard something different, I think Mark said something. I can't remember what he said because it was probably about 4 years ago now. But I remember it stuck. It's like, wait a second. Jesus didn't come to add more rules. He came to bring us freedom and to give us life. So there's something more in this verse than what I always interpreted.
That's good. Yeah.
And so as we look at it, Jesus wasn't saying, hey, you think you had it bad before, try not to commit adultery. It's worse. No, what he's saying is, the stuff you allow go on in your heart and in your thoughts, that's what's causing these outward actions. You need to deal with it early on. Don't allow those thoughts to linger in there, because what you're doing is you're creating the ground for sin to grow. I'm trying to help you. I'm giving you a way to freedom by telling you you need to work on your heart. So he's not saying, hey, I'm going to create a whole much more divorce because now anyone who commits, thinks lustfully, you know, it didn't say anyone looks at pornography. It says anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery. So if you just kind of take that second glance, that's it. You're eligible for divorce now. And that's the way I kind of took it before. Not that I ever would have taken that part, but that's kind of the way I understood the verse. Not that I ever thought, like the verse right before it says anyone who, it says do not commit murder, but anyone who says you fool to your someone else, you've already committed murder in your heart. Not that I ever thought that was that as that, but for this had to be truth. But God's saying, you know, I want you to understand the things you allow to dwell on, that's what's going to cause you to act on. What you think about is creating what you want. We can say all the time we want God's glory, but if all we're thinking about is how to have sex with another woman, even if we don't act on it, that's really what we want. The idea about bringing stuff into the light and the group, we're not in group to talk about all the gross things we did and talk about all these gross thoughts we have for our fun. And it's not to show everyone else how weird we are. But the idea is, we think we're weird. We think we're messed up. We think that we're unforgivable. And we need to get it out in group to bring stuff into light and see that we're accepted and see that God's not waiting to judge us and condemn us. That God wants to give us, offer us hope and freedom and say that this is not who you are, but I've created you for something different. Let's keep going. So when I first came to group, I was actually really nervous if my wife died before me. Because I had this feeling, if she died before me, then all of my walls or all all my restrictions of keeping pure would be gone. And I would just go nutso. And it's like, I remember, and I came out and I was like, because now, you know, after being married a few years and having sex a few different times, I felt actually pretty confident in my ability. Not to say I could ever get another girl, I'm not to say, but like in your mind, you feel like you just play around. It's like, man, any other girl be happy to have me. You know, I know how to please a woman. And you know, it's all these things you're thinking. It's like, it doesn't make sense when you get it out, but you have to sit in your head. It makes sense in your head. And so, but I remember thinking, it's like, man, if I knew the stuff that I know now when I was in college, man. And that was, my mind was kind of going there. And it was like, you know what I was really saying? I was believing that the things that I gave up were better than the things I was getting with God.
Yeah.
And that was really what was going on in my heart. Yeah. And I wasn't getting it out. I wasn't sharing it with guys before coming to the group. And so I just kind of felt like, well, it's true. You know, I'm just going to have to deal with this, kind of like, it's going to stick with me, and I'll just kind of suffer through it and really feel that. And then maybe life would have been better without God. And I didn't really believe it, but down in my heart, I kind of did. And getting out in groups, and getting out and sharing it with one another, it allows you to bring things into light. If you keep things in the darkness, you're actually, it's like it's adding water to that soil that's going to allow temptation to sin to grow. When you bring it out to the light, you're actually removing those weeds completely and allows God to put in His goodness and His righteousness within you. Because it's, as you're sharing this stuff in group, and if you've got a good group, and most of you do, I'm sure, because everyone is in this group, has been in another group, has been in another group, but somehow you've been in, the leader's been in long enough that you've got a good group. But the thing is, once you share, you're not just kind of exposing yourself raw and then like, all right, we'll see you next week. I hope I make it back. You did it. Your guys in your group are going to speak life into you. They're not going to leave you in that spot.
Yeah.
And that pain and that hurt. And that's where you're going to find healing. You're going to start, as you continue each week, kind of sharing all that stuff. And you get it all out there. All of a sudden, you're going to say, you know what? All that good stuff they're saying about me, it might be true. Because they've heard this, and this, and this, and this. And they still like me. They still want me in their group. We had a guy in our group one time. He was probably the guy that, out of behaviorally, was more pure than any of us. And he came in and he was always, I mean, he was raw. He was always sharing stuff. There was one time he came in, he said, I sit in BSSM and I saw the person in front of me. I just want to stab him in the neck with my pen. And I'm like, all right. He would never do it. But the thing is, he knew if he allowed that stuff to sit in his heart and allowed it to fester, he might just do it. But he also knew that I need to get it out so I can find the healing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm not that much different than he is. I hear stories like people getting robbed or things being taken. And I'm always like, my mind's going there. It's like, oh man, what would I do in a scenario? And it always ends with me like really hurting the guy.
Yeah.
And I usually jerk myself away because I stab him in the eyeball with a pin or something. And it's freaking me out. But the thing is, as you share that stuff, you start realizing, you know why I'm thinking about that stuff? I don't feel like God's going to protect me. And so I have to be ready to protect myself. And so that leads on to a whole new set of healing. Because if you start realizing, you know what? I think God's not going to protect me. I got a choice now. Am I going to continue to believe that? Or am I going to choose to believe what the Bible says, that He is my protector, He is my rock in salvation, He's my strong fortress, I can run to Him and be safe? Now I have a choice, which am I going to believe? And if I make the right choice, I'm on the path to healing. So the thing is, our imaginations, as I shared at the beginning, the listening to those assholes in your life, you start listening, it's like, why am I keep on thinking about this stuff? There might be one root cause. Some of it, just don't worry about it. Just if something pops in your head and you're able to move on, it's like, you know, you turn to God and you move on and it doesn't bother you, don't sit there and make a deal out of it. But if you know it's something that keeps repeating back in your life over and over again, then bring it up in group. Call someone up. Say, hey, this stuff is, I'm dealing with it. I'm really struggling. And allow it to process this stuff. Because you get stuff out of the light, you will find healing. You know, the verse we like to talk about, Jesus in John 8 says something like, and the truth will set you free. It's, I am the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we don't look at the verse right before it, where Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, then the truth will set you free. And so it's not just knowing the truth that's going to set you free. It's choosing to believe the truth when you feel like something else is true. Yeah. And as you do that, you'll find freedom. But the thing is, if you ignore every temptation, if you ignore every imagination, you're not actually knowing what those things are, the lies you're believing. Because you've pushed it aside, because I don't like looking at that, I don't like talking to other people about sin or problems, I don't want to deal with it, I'm just going to keep on trying and keep on trying. And what you're doing is you're creating a religion and you're pulling away from relationship because it scares you. But as you deal with that stuff and bring it out, then you can find the truth and then choose to hold on to the truth and allow the truth to set you free. The thing is, you know, we have our imaginations are really good. God gave us imaginations because with our imaginations, we actually can see solutions to things that we couldn't have seen if we didn't go with it with God. We actually gain hope in desperate situations because we use our imagination with God to say, you know, something good can happen out of this. So imaginations in and of themselves aren't bad. It's when we don't use our imagination with God. God says in Paul says in Colossians 3, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So it's like, set your mind on things above, things of God. Allow your mind to set there, and then your imagination can go places and allow you to think. He says Ephesians 2:12, someone says that you can act, God is able to do and does do more than we can ask or imagine. So it's almost like he's asking, hey, why don't you try to imagine stuff with me? Because I could do immeasurably more. But the thing is, when we sit there and allow our imagination to go places that they shouldn't go, or we're afraid of them, and so we shut down our imaginations, then we actually stunt our growth. Good. So what I want to do is just really encourage you in the group. Share those stuff. Go deeper. Share that stuff that you, like, you know, I know I shouldn't be thinking about this, but I do. And get it out there. Get it out in the open. Because once you get the stuff out in the open, then you can find healing. Then it's like where it says Philippians 4:8, verse 2, whatever is noble, whatever is holy, whatever is good, whatever is excellent, all these kind of good things. Think on those stuff. That's how you can think about it. It's not it completely ignoring the bad that was there. It's bringing light into it. And you bring light into it by exposing it with other people. So I just want to encourage you in your group. Groups are amazing. Let me end with prayer. I'm going to stand up. I want to pray. Repeat after me. I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
I desire holiness.
I desire holiness.
I have what I need to be holy.
I have what I need to be holy.
God is not ashamed of my sin.
God is not ashamed of my sin.
He's not ashamed of my imagination.
He's not ashamed of my imagination.
He's dealt with it.
He's dealt with it.
And loves me through it.
And loves me through it.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I will share with my group something I'm scared to never share.
I will share with my group something I'm scared to never share.
And I will find healing.
And I will find healing.
I will find freedom.
I will find freedom.
And I will find that God is in me.
And I will find that God is in me.
He's never left me.
He's never left me.
He's never been ashamed of me.
He's never been ashamed of me.
He is a proud father.
He is a proud father.
And I'm a good son.
And I'm a good son.
Amen.
Amen.